What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Let's turn our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Luke chapter 14. I read the scripture there, and then I'll just build my thought around what God wants us to see tonight. Are we ready? Luke 14, verse 28. Okay, let's read from verse 27. The Bible says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to do what? To mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." So what that scripture is saying, that one of the major reasons for things not finishing, one of the major reasons things fail, is lack of what? Sitting down first from the beginning to have a proper assessment and evaluation. Are you with me? And the Bible says, if you miss the preparatory stage, if you miss that beginning phase, you will most likely not arrive at a desired what? Destination. So, preparation is important. Are we getting me? Preparation is very, very important. Now, where we read during the conference, and that's why I said we're going to take off from there. So, I'll explain what it's on my heart as regards preparations. And, you know, one of the things I like about Jesus' teaching is that he uses everyday things to teach us so that we can apply our hearts to see, because spiritual principles are parallel. Are you with me? As in, you can see them in everyday things. So, if you look at the parables of Jesus, he will use illustrations most times about the farmer. Are you with me? He talks about stewardship. He talks about business, because that is how we do life. You know, we do life. If you farmed before, you can understand the principles of the kingdom just as a farmer. So, you don't need to be too intelligent to miss how God works. Are you getting now? You don't need to be too intelligent. One of the things you learn is that you can't expect a harvest where a seed has not been sown. Yes, meaning that what you cultivate today, that's one of the things you get to learn, that there are principles that guard what you do, and what you cultivate today determines what you harvest tomorrow. So if you look at the parables of Jesus, you can learn things, you can glean, you can draw principles for life that are parallel with physical things that we see. Are we following? Now, we said from the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, you know, I know this series of teachings and that we've been running is to really stir us up to step into the fullness of God's plans and purposes for our lives. How many of you get that? Because God has dreams and has big plans for you even before you came. There is no person on earth that God doesn't have a plan for. But let me say something. How far that plan is realized is largely dependent on your cooperation with God. I was talking to some people the other day. I said, success. You know, we've been born successful people in Christ Jesus. Now we're living it out. And I was saying to some people the other day, I said, sometimes it looks as though success is elusive. It's as though it's difficult. And I've heard some people take the word, destiny out of context. And they say, well, if you ever succeed, if you ever make a foolproof of whatever God has asked you to do, are we together? That's because it's your destiny. It's your lot in life. Maybe that's what other creeds teach and other belief systems have. But that is not what the Bible says. One central theme about the Bible is that regardless of where anybody comes from, are you with me? Is that you can make a foolproof of God's plan for your life, regardless of place. That's why scripture is replete with stories upon stories of different people. You might want to question the circumstances around your birth. Some years ago, God taught me a very important lesson, not to bother about the things I have no control over, but to be more focused on the things that I can do something about. I can't choose the family I was born into. Are you with me? I can't choose the environment I found myself. I can't choose the circumstance, but how many of you know I can choose where to lay my head? Jesus was born in a manger, but he didn't sleep with sheep. He's seated in glory. So he's a perfect example. So you don't have to think like a cow because you were born in a manger. So that's what we continually see in scripture. That how we came into this world might be beyond our making. But how we live this life and how where we spend eternity is purely a thing of choice. Are we together? So we look at the mandate again that God gave to man, and then we begin to build around that. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be what? Be fruitful and multiply. Be what? Fruitful and multiply. How many of you know that sounds like a command? That doesn't sound like an option. He didn't say, if you can, do your best and be fruitful. And during the conference, I was telling us, God will not tell us to be fruitful if the ability for fruitfulness is not in us. Listen, the commandments of God are not burdensome. Hope you know that. Is that every time that God gives a man a word is because the abilities to do that thing, they're already in that man. When Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, if you are the one, bid me come, can I speak to you? If it's something Peter couldn't do, Jesus would have said it to him. There are things Jesus said is impossible. Number one, he said that without faith, it is what? Jesus said, look. That without faith, you can't receive from God. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and no doubt in your heart, but believing those things which you say, you shall have whatsoever you do what? You say. Meaning, if you don't say it, the mountain will remain there. So when Jesus said to Peter, come, it's because he knew that Peter could come. And he knew that everything necessary for Peter to walk on water was available. So can I speak to someone tonight? There is no impossible dream. There's no impossible dream, no impossible vision. There is nothing that God has set in your heart that is impossible. For the fact that God put it in your heart is because it is possible. It's because it's possible. Yes, you might say it has never happened before, because this is why, you know, these things have been running through my heart for months now. And, you know, just asking God, what title do I give this particular series? And, you know, he just said, the visionary. I know one of the definitions of a visionary is somebody who, sometimes they say his dreams are not possible. Or looked out of the ordinary. Or is charting a new course. Not someone who is doing what everybody is doing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that what you're going to do is entirely new to humanity. But when we talk about visionaries, we're talking about people who are shattering ceilings. We're talking about people who are doing what they said. In fact, what they said can never be done. Like the Wright brothers, who believed that metals could fly, right? And nobody believed. But then you can also have a vision to expand the scope of what they have seen or what they did. Or you're charting a new course in your family. They said, look, in your family, nobody has ever amounted to this or attained to this. And then there is this thing in your heart that tells you that, look, I can live beyond the limitations of my environment. Do you get what I'm saying? For some, it could be even in the area of marriage. Maybe they've said that, look, nobody in this family has been able to live with a man and has been able to stay in the marriage before. So you have all these interesting statistics, and something tells you, look, I'm going to have a great home, I'm going to chart a new course, and this is going to be different. Listen, you're a visionary. And we're talking about building to last. So I don't want you to be afraid if God put a dream in your heart. I want you to take your eyes off the limitations. If God says, be fruitful, and you look around and you're wondering, how? How can these things be? Is that not what Mary said to? I love God. Is that not what Mary said to the angel? How can these things be, seeing I know no man? Luke chapter 1. And he says, the power of the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. That means there is always an anointing that will find ways to express itself as abilities. That will find ways, are you with me? To express itself as potentials in you. The moment you realize that, look, this is a possible dream. This thing can come to pass. I was reading a book some time ago, Creativity. Okay, but the title of the book just flew off my mind. But he was talking about the idea behind Walt Disney and the experience. And when they eventually got their studio and they launched out. You know, when they wanted to set up the studio, the visionaire, it looked as though it was not possible. It looked crazy. And then, cut a long story short, it came to pass. And the day they were opening up the studio, someone now said that because the man who was a visionaire had died. And someone asked and said, oh, it would have been great for him to be here to see what he had always dreamt of. And I love the answer that someone gave. The person said, we are here because he saw it. That means if he never saw it, we wouldn't be here. Because every reality today first existed in the mind of someone as an idea. If someone cannot conceive it, nobody can birth it. And one of the worst things that can happen to you is to write yourself out and say, well, I'm not the one designed or meant to do what? To conceive it. That's why as believers, we're always dreaming. We're always dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. And don't throw your dreams away. They are seeds. And has nothing to do with position. Maybe in your family you are the least. You remember Gideon. When the angel appeared to him and said, in the book of Judges, and said, thou mighty man of what? Of valor. You know what he said? The Bible says he turned around. He was wondering, who are you talking to? It couldn't possibly have been me, you know. And he started explaining. He said, in Israel, my tribe is the smallest tribe. Then in the smallest tribe, my clan is the smallest clan in the smallest tribe. And then my family is the smallest family in the smallest clan of the smallest tribe. And then I am the smallest person in the smallest family of the smallest clan, the smallest tribe. The only thing he didn't say was the smallest God. How do you mean? But he just kept narrowing everything. He was just trying to give God reasons why he's not the person. And let me say this. Don't allow anybody resize your dreams. Don't allow anybody to resize your dreams and tell you they are not possible. Don't even allow your mind to be bound by the walls around you. I'm laying this as a foundation. Somebody getting blessed tonight. I love Joseph. He was in a prison, but the prison was not in him. You know, when we read Joseph's story and we say he was thrown into a dungeon, you know, the mindset is that we think about Joseph serving a prison term. I mean, if you think like that sometimes, you know, say he's serving a prison term, so after a while, he will come out. No, he wasn't serving a prison term. You need to read the background and the history of the times that he was in. If you were thrown into that dungeon, there's only one person that could bring you out. And guess who that person was? It was Pharaoh. Because it's not a prison term. You've committed an offense. The official is not happy with you. They've dumped you there. And mark you, he was a slave. So as a slave, he didn't have a life. So Joseph was not there, and they were assuring him that, don't worry, after 4 years, you'll be out. So it looked like his dreams and his vision and his goals and everything that he had growing up and everything that he saw, his aspirations were hedged in by those walls. So you can understand why everybody will wake up and be sad. They were sad. But scripture tells us that Joseph will get up and ask, why are you sad? So the question is there anything to be happy about these walls? Well, you see, for a man to be happy in that kind of situation, hello, it means that there was something that he was seeing. There was something bigger than the walls on the outside, bigger than the limitations. And that is why it's very, very necessary that we keep faith, we keep hope alive. Hope are pictures. Keep hoping. I know that in a lot of Word of Faith circles, hope is not talked about, but hope is important. You know why? It's when you first have hope that faith can become active. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it gives me a bit of concern for people who think they are in faith when they have no hope. Because what faith substantiates is what? Is hope, the pictures, what we see. So if you read through Hebrews 11, you discover that every single person in Hebrews 11 had a picture. Why do you think that Moses' parents or mother hid him in the water? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he saw him as a special child. There was a picture that she had in her heart. While every other person, you know, as they were giving birth to babies, were probably saying, this baby, someone might just come and kill because there was a decree that babies be killed. She had her own baby and had a vision. Kai, have a vision. She had her own baby and had a vision. So it's not what is happening around, it's what you see. What are you seeing? And this is very, very important. We're bringing you this message from Boko, and I want to speak to all of you, some of you who are listening to me, who are live in this studio right now, hearing me in church. What do you see? Those of you watching, what do you see? I know you can test the depth of a man's heart by the words he speaks. So it's not hard to know what a man thinks, because your words will always eventually reveal what you think. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, what does the mouth do? It speaks. So what are you saying? We're lost. There is no hope. Where are we headed? If you're talking like that, you have no vision. You should be the Josephs in whatever climb you find yourself. You should be able to ask others, why are you sad? Joseph had a what? Joseph had a dream. He couldn't have been fruitful without a dream. Let me tell you what a dream is. A dream is a seed. And there are different ways we can catch a dream. Hello. Sometimes you can find yourself in a situation and then all of a sudden your heart begins to yearn. Sometimes it could be an experience you've had. It could be an experience you've had. Maybe you struggled to have an education and you saw the importance of education, and then a vision to have a university, to have an institution will be born in your heart. Sometimes it could be that you're walking in a place. Am I talking to someone? And then in the course of walking in that place, it just comes to your heart that, look, I can have this also. A vision is born. It could be in prayer. God will give you a particular what? A particular word. A vision is born. It could be from a conversation. How did Nehemiah catch the vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? He was doing well. He was chief of staff. He was a politician. He was a government official, rather. Doing well. And then some people came from Jerusalem. And he began to ask them, what's going on back at home? Regular, everyday conversation. And they were telling him how the walls were down. This is what's happening. That's what's happening. And you know, from that moment, something was lit in his spirit. He couldn't sleep. He set his whole life on a different trajectory. And that is why his name is in the Bible. And you know, the moment he had that dream, he had that vision, he began taking steps of faith and met the king. And everything began to open up to him. Came into the place and then began to rebuild the walls. There were oppositions, but I don't know if you know, the walls were built. But where did it start from? Conversations. So anything God sparks in your heart, don't kill it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Genesis 1:28 says, be fruitful. Now, why am I teaching this? It's because when God says be fruitful, there was something on his heart, which is domination. Go to verse 26. Go to Genesis 1:26. He says, let us make man in our image. Let him just be like us. He's like us. He bears our image. He's like us. Genesis 1:26 says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. What did God create man to do? To have dominion. What were you created to do? You were created to exercise dominion. Say amen if you can. Amen. Hallelujah. And we said that dominion is not a pursuit, right? He says it's a result. It's a result, not a pursuit. I've noticed that a lot of people want to dominate. You know, just want to, the Bible says, have dominion. And then they just get up and want to dominate, bully everybody. And they say, that's my mandate. Listen to me. It is not a pursuit. It is as a result of a process that has been set by God. Are you getting me now? If you are not at the Covenant World Conference, I encourage you to get all the messages. So, what is that process? The process begins with what? Process begins with being fruitful. Now, you can't talk about fruitfulness without seed. And that's why I was talking about your dream. You can't talk about fruitfulness without seed. But what I'll be focusing us in this series is not just that you now have a dream. Are we following? Is how to plant that seed so that it can produce what? Fruit. Because that's where people miss it. Brilliant ideas don't automatically become fruitful. Just because, I've met people with talent. I've met people with dreams. I've met people with ideas. It's like their dream in life is to dream. They can share ideas with you and tell you things, but they never see it come to see the light of day. They are not fruitful. And God didn't make us barren. Barrenness shall not be known among us. I didn't hear you say amen. Amen. So take a good look at this now. I want you to get this. When we talk about seeds in the natural realm, the person that first comes to your mind is a farmer, right? So if you're talking about fruitfulness, then you have to first think like a what? A farmer. Now, what does a farmer do? A farmer values seeds. One of the first times I went to the village to visit my grandmother, I was smaller then, but I can't forget. in her kitchen, in her local kitchen, they had this set of corn that they will hang, you know, and it smokes. And we went to the village about the time where it was they were harvesting corn. So my grandmother, really nice woman, but very bold woman. So she just said, "Oh, look at my grandchildren here. That they should roast some maize for us, some corn." And they said, "No, that someone will have to go to the farm because they didn't have corn at home." And she just, you know, she was just, "Come on, get up, somebody run." She likes to act drama. Amen. So she was just acting her drama. And they were all running to go and get the corn. And in my mind, while I was sitting by the kitchen, because she was in the kitchen, I mean, you know, as young as I was, "But that's corn. That's corn up there. Why wouldn't you just get that corn and roast it?" You know, if they roast that particular corn for you, your jaw will never remain the same when you're eating it. And then somehow it now caught my attention. I kept wondering. So every time I'll look at it, and I will wonder why they will have to go and get corn and why that one had to be kept. They won't make this so special. I discovered that they were thinking about the future. It was quarantined. Amen. It was going through social distancing and isolation. It was isolated for a purpose. Are you with me now? So, you will discover that they will preserve those seeds pending when it's time to go and do what? Plant it. But see, you don't just go and plant. There's preparation that leads to planting. Because if you have good seeds, bad preparation could do what? Could ruin it. That's why in my agriculture that I learned, I read agricultural economics. There's something known as land preparation. Now, the person who prepares his land stands a higher chance of better yield, not just having the right seeds. Seeds have their place. But in a place where everyone has good seeds, the preparation of the land for the planting season is very important. I know I'm talking to someone tonight. So, that seed, and I kept wondering, what does the land have to do? Because what we were just told before was that if you put the land, the seed in the land, it will now start to grow. You don't know how. Is that not what Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4? But you have to have a all-round view about it. They tell us that there are certain things that seeds need, right? In order to grow properly, it needs air. It needs sunlight. It needs water. For it to grow properly. Meaning that if you look at the sun, it has what the seed requires. If you look at the air, it has what the seed requires for fruitfulness. If you look at the rain, it has what the seed needs. But rain and sun and air pouring on the seed doesn't make the seed germinate and make it fruitful. So what is one of the major works of the soil is that when it is put into the soil, when it is planted, the soil now becomes the element that begins to harmonize and trap the required things from the various sources to help that seed grow. Now, what am I saying? That if you look at where you are right now, your ideas requires people. Your ideas, amen, requires places. Your ideas require equipment. There are certain tools that are necessary to help that idea blossom and be what God wants it to be. So when God said, "Be fruitful," there was something that what was on his mind is that, look, there are things required for fruitfulness that are connected to your idea. But guess what? It will not attract those things until it is first planted. But before it's planted, the land has to be prepared. Let me show you a scripture. Psalm 126. The land has to be prepared. Charles Capps, who's going to be with the Lord, great teacher of faith, great father of faith, were watching his daughter the other day and his wife, and it was such a blessing to us. Charles Capps was a farmer and a preacher. And I love the way he brought God's word out. He brings God's word out every time he's teaching, because he could relate with it as a farmer. Are you with me? And he talked about preparing your land, preparing your heart, preparing the land where you are going to plant this what? This seed. If you understand the parable of Esau, can I just digress a bit? I'll come to Psalm 126. Hallelujah. If you study the parable of the sower, do you know nothing was said about the seed? The seeds were good. The Bible did not categorize seeds and say, oh, okay, the issue is that some seeds were bad. That's why they didn't thrive. What was the focus of Jesus' parable in the parable of the sower? The type of ground upon which it fell. That means your ground has the preparation, like we read today in our text. Are you getting me? In Luke 12. Has a lot to do with how seeds thrive. Seeds don't thrive well on poor lands. So poor preparation can hinder good ideas. Some fell by the wayside, and that's how some people treat their ideas. They are just wayside casualty. They have a dream, brap, they are up, they are running. Before you know what, they come back and they say nothing happened. Others, the Bible says, are like seeds that fell upon what? Stony ground. That means they didn't take time to improve the soil upon which the seed was going to come. Others, the Bible says, fell upon rocks. Oh, it's a struggle, it's a struggle. The seed is there, it's a struggle. Then he said, but there's good soil upon which the seed came and produced a what? A harvest. So preparation is key. Psalm 126, Amplified Translation, verse 6, Psalm 126. Could you give me the 2015 Amplified Translation? 2015, not the classic. Okay, don't have it. Okay. Okay, let's read this one. He said, he who goes forth bearing seed and weeping at needing his precious what? Supply of grain for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know why I like this scripture? When you read it, you think it happens in 2 minutes. But what, look at what scripture says. It says that he goes forth with his precious seeds. How? Weeping. Underline the word weeping if you have that in your Bible. He goes about with his precious seed weeping. So I want to say that planting season is not fun. Because you have to go prepare the ground. And what is your ground? That idea you have, where do you want to plant it? What is the information you are willing to get? What are you ready to do as you launch out? That's vision. Is somebody following? Now, this is what I want to bring out first. Concerning that dream, for every dream, there's something you should be willing to let go. It's part of the preparation. What are you willing to let go? What are you willing to transact? For example, you say, I have a dream of becoming a lawyer. Amen. That's your vision. All right. Do you want to give up? I'm just putting in very clear term now. You meet a young girl. I want to be a lawyer. That's what I see. I see myself in court. I see myself in this. Now you have to start planting, right? And prepare the ground and make sure you pass your O levels. And then meet the required, get the requirements for JAMB. Am I talking to someone? and pass your basics. You can't say you want to be a lawyer and you don't like English language. You need to settle down and study it. What are the requirements for this course that I want to do? What are you doing? You are preparing your ground where you can plant that seed. You say, I want to go into agriculture. The question is that, do you know what is involved in agriculture? Do you have sufficient information? What are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go the comfort of your friends in pursuit of a dream? To travel to some place and go and ask questions? Or learn? Do you have enough skill for what you want to do? What are the things you're willing to cut away? Because that's how life operates. Why one farmer is on the field clearing his land, another one is at home probably doing nothing or feeling like the time is not worth giving to what the other farmer is doing. And that's how life is. I notice that a lot of people have visions. Christians, I'm talking to believers now. But we're not willing to weep. We're not willing to weep. We're not willing to put in the time. Because preparation sometimes looks slow. It looks like a waste of time. You just want to start out and start running. I remember when I wanted to start learning the keyboard, how to play the keyboard. Disclaimer, I'm not a keyboardist. I only play the notes. And I love music. I wanted to learn keyboard. I wanted to learn the guitar. I just wanted to learn everything. So I had, I'll call his name, Sammy's Godet. Some of you know him. So Sammy's Godet came to the house and, you know, he was playing the guitar. It was so wonderful. So I said, sir, I started learning the guitar some years ago, but I didn't have time. Can you teach me? He said, why not? He was so excited. And he was taking me through the basics. Hello. It was boring. The routine was boring. He was telling me I should hold this. I want to strum the guitar. And he was such a patient man. Because he said, do this. He said, you have to do. He said, okay, pastor, do this till tomorrow. And we'll take off from there. When he left, I dropped the guitar. I said, I already know this. The following day, when we were talking, he was teaching me. He was taking me to the, that's like my second lesson. And guess what I told him? I said, how can you hold multi? I don't want to be going on. I want to hold chords, you know. I was just telling him all the things I wanted to do. I said, okay, what of this one? I saw somebody do the other time. He became quiet and kept looking at me as I was talking. When I finished talking, he said, Pastor Arame. I said, uh-huh. He said, you will never play guitar. I said, is that a curse in my heart? He said, you are the, I will never forget the word. He said, you are the wrongest person to teach the guitar. So let's do something else. He was angry. I said, no, I can't. He said, you know, you are not ready to learn. That you don't learn equipment like that. That's why up to today, I've not been able to play any equipment perfectly. You know why? That discipline to stay and learn the rudiment is the preparation ground for your dream. If you don't master the ropes, are you getting me? You can't direct the puppet. And it requires time. Preparation. Preparation is important to fruitfulness. I know somebody is listening to me. Do you know why the farmer takes time to prepare it? You think that the preparation is fun? It's because of the dream or the vision in his heart. You see, every farmer is a man of faith. Every farmer is a man of faith. You know, I like Boko. You know, I like Boko because It's planting season. Everybody's working hard. They are preparing. You think it's fun? They might enjoy what they are doing, but do you know why they are doing? Do you know why they are planting the yams? They are planting now. They are looking at December. That means the moment someone holds a seed, there's something he's seen. So the question I'm asking you, I want to ask first. Yes, I have discovered my dream. I have this idea. I have this thing God wants me to do. You know the next question. What do you see inside that thing? That is what determines how precious your seeds are. Some people's dreams are not precious to them. It's only a wish. If you have to go to school, then do what? You go. It's part of the what? Preparation for the seed that you carry. So ask yourself that question. What am I willing to let go in terms of time and comfort in pursuit of what I want to do? Because Jesus said, if you don't sit down to count the cost, what will happen? They will say he started it, but he didn't what? He didn't finish it. So what is that in context of what we are saying? That means he was not fruitful. So sit down from the beginning. I'm going to war. Jesus said, you know, you are going to face a man who has 20,000 soldiers. You don't have the right strategy. You take 1,000. Jesus said, look, if you don't plan well, you will not even fight that war. You know what you are going to do? You are going to meet with the man with 20,000 soldiers and you are going to tell him, let's sign a peace treaty. And that's why a lot of people submit their dreams. They say they have this dream, they have this vision, because they are not willing to go give it the due time. They settle for whatever is available. And then, have you met some of those older men whose dreams have died? And then when you are talking, they begin to tell you that, forget my son. I was on this road before. I was on this road. This thing you are trying to do, well, let's see how far you go. Well, these are things we've tried. Don't sit with unproductive people. I've often told this story of some ministers in Boko back in the days who would tell me, Pastor Arame, you are a fine young man of God. This is what, oh, we like what you're doing. But listen, these things don't, you can't have that kind of ministry in Boko. In Boko, but how many of you can see, it's in Boko that the Billy Akoni, people are flying from all over the world, hello, to come and be blessed. Those are the kind of places you should go. Those are the kind of people you should listen to. Not people who tell you that, oh, we had these dreams. We had this dream. Those days are gone. Do you know why I failed? They did not count the cost from the beginning. So let me go a bit deeper. I believe somebody's getting something tonight. So there is a commensurate plan for every dream that will require some form of sacrifices for it to come to pass. One of our fathers, you know, built a house, lovely house. And so he called me, he said he wanted to come and pray over the house and dedicate the house, really beautiful house. So we went to the house and he was saying, Pastor, my wife and I, you know, 6-7 years ago, we had a dream in our heart to have a holiday home, because it's their holiday home. Are you with me? And, you know, we saw this particular design and we said, we'd like to have something like this. And then they set out to build. So eventually they said, where can we get this size of land? You're just sharing all the testimonies that led to it. They asked questions, they eventually got the land, they paid for the land. Then they got an architect to sit down to design it. Are you with me? Then to ask what is involved. Then he said, when it came to financing it, him and his wife sat down. Guess the question, the first thing they told them, said, no question. The agreement they made, they said, look, for the next 4 years, no vacations. All the money coming in for the vacation, we're going to do what? We're going to transfer it into building this place. That's preparation. They were willing to give something up. Now, for you, that might not be what you have to give up. But there is something to give up in pursuit of every dream. some measure of comfort. Lazy people don't produce. Go and read the book of Proverbs. Lazy people don't produce. Now, let's say you have this dream to have a radio station. I don't know why that came to my heart. I said, I have a vision to have a radio station. Like I said, the first thing is to ask, what is it about the radio station? What do I need to get a radio station? What's involved in it? That's part of a preparation. As you plan this dream, who do I need to talk to? Are there certifications that are necessary? Hello. And then you take the step. You take the step. You are willing to forgo certain pleasures just in pursuit of that. You are preparing the ground for it. Then the next question I want to ask you is that this radio station that is a dream in your heart, what is your vision for it? Now, what is your picture of success concerning your dream? I put it this way. If you leave Boko and you're going to Abuja and the other person is going to Makurdi, and you guys happen to be in the same bus or something, and they stop in Makurdi, will you drop? If your plan is Abuja, will you drop? Why won't you drop? Because that's not your destination. Let me say, is it when you got to Makurdi that you decided that you'll be going to Abuja? When was the dream for Abuja born in your heart? Before you left Boko. Well, I know that's how it's supposed to be, but some people are not like that. I mean, some people, anything goes. You know, when you don't have a vision, you become someone else's vision. You follow? I know of a particular guy. Once he's a car, he's inside. If he's walking in the morning, they say, I'm going to the market. You just look at what, there's nothing I'm doing. You hop into the car. They'll go to, if you meet another person in the market there who is headed towards Kasnala, he'll be in the car. That's how some people find themselves in Takum. Are you getting me? Find themselves in Sokoto. They don't even know how they arrived there. You know, no vision. Provided the car is moving, they are moving. May your life not be like that in Jesus' name. Don't float. Please get what we're saying. So for this particular thing, there must be a destination in your heart that defines success for you. That's before you plant the seed. Oh, thank you, Lord. It is that desired destination that gives you the energy to persistently follow through. There's this sad story of a particular pastor who started a church in a town. I've told this story. I'm sure some of you have heard me tell this story a couple of times. It's pathetic. He started a church and just when people began to come to the church, you know what happened? Someone brought a tithe, I think of 400,000 naira. Back then, those were the days when if you had a Mercedes regular, you were like the governor. So this man had a Mercedes regular, came to his church, heard him teach about tithe, and the man was so blessed and said, I'm going to bring my tithe. So the man brought his tithe of 400,000. You know, that's a breakthrough for him. So the following Sunday, the members came to church. Guess what happened? The pastor and his family had packed and left town. They were not... So, the assistant pastor was wondering, the members were wondering, the place was locked. Where's pastor? We can't find pastor. So the man asked. The man with the regular Benz came. Some of you don't even know what the Mercedes Benz regular is like. I don't bother. Just came with the car. I said, where's pastor? Because the members were arguing among themselves. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he's out. They said, no, we sent somebody home. He's not home. We heard he traveled. How could he have traveled? You know, they're just going back and forth, going back and forth, going back and forth and wondering. And guess what? The man said, so what do I do now? I brought another tithe, 300,000. Who do I give it to since the pastor is not around? And you can trust. That's how another pastor emerged from there and then collected the tithe and left. And I kept wondering. And well, the sad part of that story is that when they eventually got to find out, they discovered that he packed his family and moved out of town. Months later, they discovered that in the eastern part of Nigeria, he had started a business. Hallelujah. He had started a business. What was the problem? It's because from the day one, when he was planting that vision, are you listening to me? When he was planting that vision, when he was planting that seed, he didn't have a what? His vision was limited to 400,000. That's why the moment he got to 400,000, that was what that whole seed planting was about. Hear me. I personally believe that he must have even gone through certain things. There are certain things he has done because, don't worry, in our next episode, I'm going to teach some things. I'm laying a foundation to prepare your heart. The rigors of planting is the same for every person, regardless of profession. There are different names we call it, startups, whatever you call it. There are things that every person must go through. You know, when people are sharing with me their experience, how they started in ministry, you know, as well when I see younger ministers telling me their experience in ministry, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm going through. I can relate with it. You know, I'm relating with it. It's something I've been through, and it's not a curse. You are not cursed. Are you with me? You are not cursed. It's part of the what? It's part of the process. It's part of what happens. Amen. But what is the vision? What do you see concerning this dream? What do you see concerning this idea that God has put in your heart? 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, 29. Now, this is when David was sent to the field. And the Bible says he came there. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a curse? Are you following? Because when David came there and said he wanted to go and fight, he was willing to take a step that his elder brothers were not willing to take. They were cowering in fear. And David said, look, I'm going to step out. And can I say this to someone? David saw Goliath dead before he ever threw a stone. David had a dream. He had a vision, but I want you to see his dream. There was something he saw to it. That in this dream, I'm not just living for the now. That's before he ever planted anything, before he ever sat down, before he ever sat on the throne. There was a picture that he saw in his heart. And this answer is what, you know, defined the borders of David's expectation when he was planting his seed or the seed of his dream. And David said to his brothers, what have I done now? Is there not a curse? Ask your neighbor, is there not a curse? If the reason you want to go into a line of business or the reason you want to go into a particular profession is just for pleasure, let me tell the truth, you won't go far. I said you won't do what? You won't go far. And that's where lots of people are. Lots of Christians. They don't go far. They are not living for a curse. They are living for pleasure. They are living for the now. So, you say you want to be a hairstylist. And you ask, why do you want to be a hairstylist? Guess the generic answer. So it will bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. No. You know, after Corona World Conference, I've been talking, a lot of people have been talking with me. It happens. I knew the thing, you know, the question I asked them, what is the cause? Because if you don't have a strong reason for what you do, are you listening? When you begin to see the glimmers of success and results, perceived results can derail you from the original purpose for why God wants you to do a thing. And that's how I have people who go into politics, because there is no cause. Are you getting? They are there, and this is a faithful brother, this is a faithful Christian brother, they get into place of position, and when they eventually enter into positions, they don't know what to do. It's because from the start, it was not established in their hearts. You want to take over. See, you want to take, remember it's dominion we're talking about. I want to dominate the IT industry. Hello. Say I'm going to be the biggest this in the IT industry. You know, by the time you make just 50 million naira, by the time you make 50 million naira, if there is no cause, if there's no reason for what you're doing, by the time you make 50 million naira, when you're entering Boko next week, they will know that you have what? No. There's a word. What's the popular word? You have arrived. You know, people arrive early. At the beginning, there was no cause. That whole vision, that whole thing, they are saying, I have a dream. I was talking to someone. Every God-given dream must be willing to outlive generations. One of the things that you notice about people who stand up as icon, who stand out as icon in life, is because they were willing to live for something bigger than them. So that their pursuit was not just to satisfy what? An immediate need or an immediate gratification. Their pursuit was to leave a legacy, to do something that was bigger than them. You know, I had to write this down. Amen. This is from a Harvard Business Review. Give me Philippians 2. Let me read this and then I say what I want to say. Then we'll close for tonight. There's a CNN program I don't like missing. They call it the 100 Club. And why I like it is because they talk about companies that have lasted over 100 years. Companies have lasted over 100 years. You can be sure Coca-Cola is one of them. And every time I'm watching it and they're talking about how these people started, you know, some of them, they are everyday products that we use. And these companies have lasted 3-4 generations. And the stories around these companies is that their ideas that started like every other idea that people have today. Maybe you heard of the Heinz product, right? They produce salad creams and all that. It's because the guy who founded it he had a garden, are you with me? That he wanted to raise to have enough money to be able to pay his fee because he was from a very poor home. And then he just saw what he could do with that garden. And then discovered that with this garden, we can go way beyond, I can market this product. He became fruitful. Then from fruitfulness, they became what? They began to multiply. Then from multiplication, they filled the earth. And then from filling the earth, they dominated. Permit me to say this. You have not truly dominated if what God put in your heart does not outlive your generation. So when the Bible is talking about domination, it's talking about brands, it's talking about names, it's talking about things that we can outlive. And the time to start thinking of it, is now that you look at that seed. How precious is it? Can I speak to someone? 400 years from now, if Jesus tarries, Christ Family Ministries will be going on. I can already see it. And that is why, because of what I can see, the preparations that we make and the time we give into what we're doing is so that it can outlive us. So, this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I know I'm talking to some people. Are there global icons here? I know people are listening to me. You're not just here. You say God called you into the movie industry and you're just here to produce one or two short movies. And that's not what we're talking about. You don't dominate that way. Say, not that I have already attained, I am already perfect, but I press on that I may do what? Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Do you know what Paul, do you know the kind of results that Paul had in ministry? And he was still saying that I have not yet attained. I have not arrived. He said, I have not arrived. I'm not there yet. That means there was something bigger than where he was. Hello? Are you thinking of marketing that product so that you can feed? Oh, you know. And I'm shifting your perspective. It's okay when I help you teach that. You know, when you do business so that, you know, you can't. Sisters, do business. You don't have to be disturbing your husband for money, for soup every time, and to cook, and, you know, so you can have little income. Is that why God put that dream in your heart? If that's what God put in your heart, when you make $1 million or $2 million, you have arrived. You don't have to disturb your husband again. It's not God that determines the magnitude of our dreams. It's our vision. God will put an idea in your heart, but it's not the one that determines the size. It's as far as your eyes can see. So Paul said, I leave the things that are behind, always pressing. So what is it that is worth pressing? What is it that is worth living success and results? Is somebody alive here? What would get Paul thinking in this direction? You know what it's called? It's called living for a cause. Living for something bigger than you. Let me say this in closing. And this is what I saw in the Harvard Business Review that so changed my thinking. You know, they took a survey of about 7 brands that have lasted over 100 years. Are you listening? And they discovered that there was something that ran through these brands. And I'll call some of the brands for you because I had to write them down. They decided not to just take it from one line of industry. They looked at different, they looked at science, they looked at education, they looked at sports, they looked at arts. So, for arts, they studied the Royal Academy of Music, the Royal College of Arts in London, the Royal Shakespeare Company. For education, they looked at Eton College. How many of you have heard of Eton College? You know, one of the premier colleges in UK. Then, for science, they studied NASA. Then, for sports, they studied the rugby team of New Zealand. If you watch a bit of rugby, you'll be aware of, they call them the All Blacks, right? And I'm not talking to rugby fans here, but at least we see it on DSTV, right? They call them All Blacks. How many of you know the All Blacks, that team, the way Nigeria football team is called Super Eagles, theirs is called All Blacks, it's the rugby team. It's over 100 years. The team has existed for over 100 years. Eton College is older than Tofit, St. Gabriel's, and Bristol, over 100 years. And they are still producing at top quality. Are you mean? And then they studied the British Cycling Federation. I was shocked to discover that the British Cycling Federation is over 100 years too. And this is what shocked me. They spent 5 years, thousands of questionnaires, asking these people questions, studying what has kept you guys. Why have you people succeeded? Then they took the findings. I went and correlated it with about 538 companies, leaders. Are you getting me? In over 84 companies in US, global brands like Apple, Microsoft, and Nike, to see what gave these companies competitive advantage over these other new generation companies. Why? Because they noticed that in America, companies that were listed on the London Stock Exchange barely lasted 30 years. There were no more. With the stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, companies that were listed there, you look for them, there were no more. I know this was particularly on my heart. Among these 100 companies, it was interesting to note that a good number of them had Christian origins and Christian foundations. Companies that have lasted over 100 years, That means there was an understanding that these people carried from God's word, that these companies have outlived them. So they listed about 12 factors. And that's not the cause of my discussion. But this is the one that struck a chord in me. They discovered that these institutions that have lasted over 100 years started as someone's dream, a group of people's dream, but they were highly traditional. They were very traditional. And it struck a chord because they said, why most modern companies try to find ways of serving customers, of being better, are you with me? Owning resources, how to be efficient. Is that not what we teach today? That if you are starting a company, think of how to be efficient, how to be... That is not their prime focus. They do that, but that's not their prime focus because they discover that there is a basic thing that if you don't get it right, you can serve customers well, but very soon you have nothing to serve. And what is that? They discovered that what matters to them is what they call the core of the vision, the core of the company. They keep it. What defines us? Glory to God. And what is the core of their? Every one of them had a vision that was aimed at shaping society through whatever they do. So I discovered that business was not business for business sake. That anything they were doing, at the core of it, they asked NASA, why has NASA lasted over 100 years? He said, because they want to make human lives better. They asked Eton College, are you getting me? Why are they doing what they are doing? They had an answer. But every one of them has a dream of reshaping the culture of the earth. It was about people. Amen. None of these people said our vision here, the reason why we are doing what we're doing is to make money. They were pursuing a cause. And when they correlated this with thriving companies like Facebook and Microsoft, you discover that beyond an Apple, beyond producing computers, there's an ideology that drives what they do. The question I want to ask is that, what drives what you do? For Christians, we don't have many. As believers, there is only one. It is called what? The kingdom. And this is where I want to end tonight. Did you learn anything tonight? Until you find that driving force for your dream, if you plant it, it won't grow, because that driving force is the life of every goal, every vision, every dream. And many people have not found it. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. You know why? Any dream you plant, any vision that you have, when you plant it, you start seeing different parts of that vision falling off, falling off, falling off. You know why some dreams don't ever come to fruition? It's because the core reason for establishing that thing was not based on something that had enough strength to keep them going. So when you just say Jesus is the reason that I want to fill the place with the gospel, that's not, you are just saying it. Has it become a part of your being? That is why some of these big brands in the world, and this is why I'm running up, will never sponsor gospel agendas. You know why they will never sponsor it? Because it is not at the core, it's not part of what they set out to do. It really got to me that all these companies we see, these brands we celebrate and say, oh, they've been here for years. There is something they want to promote. And if you look at the world today, everything that is anti-gospel is sponsored by big-time companies. You know why? When they were establishing it, that was the core of what they wanted to do. Why am I saying this? There are only two agendas in life. There's either a God agenda or there is a satanic agenda. And the devil will not sponsor church. Neither will God sponsor the devil. How many of you want to dominate? Praise the Lord. Is that the first thing you need to sit down? You say, look, why am I doing what I want to do? Even as a pastor, just because you have a church, no. Even as a pastor, play the keyboard for me. Sam Adeyemi, Reverend Sam Adeyemi, I was reading one of his books. He blessed me. He said he was praying for church to grow. Is that unfruitfulness? Praying, Lord, let this church grow. And God tapped him and said, why do you want the church to grow? It will shock you why some people want church to grow. All right. We have arrived. Abby? If the reason for all these dreams and seeds is to prove a point, you have to go back and reestablish the reason for it. The reason is what makes it grow. God will not grow a seed that doesn't have his life and plan in it. Ask yourself. And as we're catching our dreams and our visions, you know, my prayer for every one of us is that our hearts will begin to resonate with God. And say, Lord, is that the kingdom culture will be established wherever I go? Is that I will shape the lives of younger people coming through the power of your word? Am I talking to someone? So that when you own that fashion industry, the fashion industry will have a culture built around the core, the nucleus of that dream. Then you begin to plant. Then you begin to prepare the place. You know why? When you dream like this, it will outlive you. You will come to a place where you can say, even if we are not there yet, we are on the way to where we are going. Until you have found this reason, there's no reason truly living. Can we lift our hands wherever we are tonight? Until you have found this reason, for sake of time, I couldn't show you this, but Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should go and find a treasure in a land, sells all he has, and comes to buy that land. There's something he saw. What do you see? Lift your hands if you can and bless the Lord. Thank him for his word tonight. And really begin to ask yourself, what am I pursuing? What is my pursuit? Why am I pursuing this business? Why? I've discovered that the moment a seed is tied, the moment you discover Christ in a seed, are you with me? It's not a struggle for that seed to be fruitful. God's desire always prospers in the hands of whoever has the seed. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. And actively start pursuing it now. Be magnified, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We receive it. We press on. We refuse to be discouraged. We run with whatever you've put in our hearts. And thank you because we are becoming all you've designed for us to be. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. Thank you for the power of your word revealed to us tonight. And thank you because we will not remain the same. We will ask questions and we'll receive answers. And we see your plans and purpose established in us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.